When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players. You have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Welcome to another episode of the Just Blog Baby podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Park, and joining me as always is the editor-in-chief of Just Blog Baby, Nick Jeltness, also our resident Twitter guru, Ryan Lopes. This week we have a special guest, James. James, how you doing, my man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Always happy to join the Just Blog Baby crew.
Cool. You want to give the folks your Twitter handle?
Yes, sir. You guys can find me on Twitter at Raiders Reporter. You can find my writing at www.blackholebanner.com, where you can also hear my dulcet tones.
Cool. Well, it's been a crazy week for Raider Nation.
Yeah, did anything happen? Any news?
Not much. Not much. But after years of uncertainty, the Raiders relocation nightmare is, well, either, depending on how you look at it, it's finally over or just starting. unfortunately for the local fan base, for the Oakland fan base, they will be leaving town. Let's go ahead and start there. We'll lead off with a question from Twitter. AJ Mizzle Bizzle One.
Good handle. That's a really good handle.
Yeah. But he wants to know how we feel about the move. Happy, angry, neutral. James, how about you start off?
You know, as many know, I'm an Oaklander from Oakland, live in Oakland still. So it's very bittersweet for me. You know, part of me is happy to see the Raiders get a new stadium. Part of me is happy that this discussion is finally coming to an end. And part of me is obviously pretty disappointed because they're no longer going to be the Oakland Raiders. And that's a little bit hard for me to deal with.
As a Bay Area guy, I mean, I can pretty much echo all those same sentiments. I mean, for one, I certainly am happy that the stadium situation is over, but I'm obviously definitely disappointed that this is how it ended with, you know, no resolution in Oakland. So it's definitely going to suck to see them leave, especially with them, you know, on such an upswing that they're on right now. But at the same time, you know, every quality team, especially one that's going to be as fun as this one, deserves to be playing in a shiny brand new stadium. So, you know, I'm happy for a lot of the guys to get to experience that, but, you know, I'm sad for, you know, myself, James, a lot of the Bay Area fans that, you know, a lot of these really good years, potentially Super Bowl, you know, might not happen while they're calling Oakland, you know, their home base, and that kind of sucks too, you know, to think about.
Well, man, you know, I grew up in the Bay, grew up going to Oakland Raiders games my whole life. I remember taking my mom to her first Oakland Raiders game, had tickets in the black hole. It was, I remember the New England Patriots were in town. I think it was the year after the whole Tuck rule thing happened. And I think it was the year that we went to the Super Bowl, right? Where we beat them in Oakland. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, a lot of good memories in Oakland. It's really sad to see him go, but at the same time, you know, I'm excited to see these guys get that shiny new stadium. A $1.9 billion stadium, folks. That thing looks beautiful.
It's a lot and of pesos, man.
I think I was reading it will be the most expensive stadium in the world until the Rams stadium is built. So think about that, fellas. Going from the worst to the first, you know what I mean? Like that's a huge difference.
Pretty crazy.
But let's talk about why this move happened. Nick, why did this move get approved? Give us the details.
You know, this obviously was a long, drawn out, complicated process, but to simplify it, I really think it just came down to one thing, and that's the fact that Vegas was, you know, ponying up $750 million with the hotel tax, you know, another $200 million spread out for infrastructure, and Oakland wasn't. You know, we can sit here and debate about market size and all these other factors, but, you know, I think just at the end of the day, the NFL decided to go with the $1.9 billion, you know, fancy new option as opposed to the, you know, the 1.3 smaller scale stadium on the existing land. You know, they decided that's the option that was most appealing. And I think that was, you know, of course, the biggest factor in this getting done.
All right, well, let's talk about who deserves the most blame. James, who do we need to blame for the Oakland Raiders leaving? Did Oakland not step up enough? Did Mark not exhaust all of his options to stay? What do you think?
You know, I think when you look at the city of Oakland and Mark Davis, I think you're going to find faults on both sides. I think you're going to find effort on both sides. And I think you're going to find that both sides were doing what they believe was in the best interest of their respective parties. I have a really hard time blaming either. I think, you know, I don't blame Libby Schaff for not wanting to spend public money. I don't blame Mark Davis for seeking out public money. The one party that I do blame in all of this is the NFL, because the NFL is a multi-billion dollar corporation who had plenty of opportunities to step in and stop this. Instead, they allowed three different fan bases and three different teams hang in the air for years in the Chargers, the Rams, and now the Raiders. You know, I think they, of anyone, is who fans should be directing their anger at.
Ryan, from the outside looking in, we know you're an East Coast Raiders fan. What are your thoughts on all of this?
No, I'll keep it, you know, short and sweet. I just, again, just like Nick, James, and UD, just like you guys all alluded to, I just feel really bad for, obviously, you know, the hometown fans in Oakland, fans in the Bay. You know, it's just, that's, you know, that's a part of you that's obviously leaving now. You know, I felt the same way, obviously, when, you know, the St. Louis Rams were, you know, uprooted, and obviously that whole thing. It just sucks for the entire home base. I guess for me, outside looking in, I'm looking forward to, you know, a brand new stadium, and just like Nick said earlier, you know, it's about time that, you know, this franchise seems to be trending in the right direction on the field. It's nice to know that, you know, the stadium and all the, you know, other kind of frivolous stuff is going to start to kind of catch up to them now, you know, bring them into the 21st century, so to speak, wherever the case may be. I'll leave all the political stuff, you know, out of it. Libby Schaff and the mayor and the money and all that stuff. We obviously know the owners are interested in kind of just one thing and one thing only. Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely, it's bittersweet, probably the best way to describe it. Even as a displaced fan.
And what a rough few months it's been for Bay Area based Raiders sports fans specifically. When, I mean, just riding as high as we were, looking at a 12-4 season and a potential number one seed, and Derek Carr getting hurt, and then the Raiders relocating, and it's been a rough few months. That all came crashing down pretty quickly.
It has. I mean,
life's crazy.
On the plus side, though, you know, the Raiders will be sticking around for a couple more years. That might be a little awkward, but
a little bit. They got to win one before they go.
I think that winning will make everyone forget. Nick, what surprised you most about this process?
I mean, that's a hard question. There was a lot that surprised me. I think what jumps out to me the most is just how much the opinion on Vegas shifted, you know, amongst the league from where we were, I don't know, 14 or 15 months ago when this process first started and this idea first got pitched. The NFL has long had a very strong anti-gambling stance, and they still do. There was a lot of concern with Adelson being involved, and, you know, obviously he isn't in the picture anymore. There's concern about, you know, market size and just, you know, all these different things. You know, there seemed to be quite a bit of roadblocks this entire time. And then with the votes coming down, being a 31-1 approval, completely shocking to me. I mean, I believe I said at one point I thought this was a 0% chance to happen, and it almost happened unanimously. So it's I was completely shocked.
James, how about you?
So there were two things that really shocked me about this. The first I'm still shocked about. The second I'm shamed in myself for being surprised by. The first is the fact that $750 million of public money was committed to a stadium. I really thought we were heading towards a time where less and less public money would be committed, and we'd be seeing really more and more stadiums built the way Kroenke is building it in LA, and the way that Jed York built it in Santa Clara. Instead, it's the highest amount of money that's ever been devoted from a public entity, and there's supposedly $200 million more coming in infrastructure. So that is just still mind-blowing to me. The second thing is that we didn't find out until after the vote was done that Jerry Jones owns stake in a company that will be selling the PSLs for the Raiders. And that company, because of this deal, is now valued at higher than an NFL franchise. And so, as always, you want to follow the money. I just, you know, Jerry Jones has clearly been in the background of this, plotting ways to make money and make it happen. And none of us really knew about it. So that was just like, you know, real mind blowing for me.
Is that not like a conflict at all? Like a conflict of interest in any way? I mean, I know it's just a company that he owns. That just seems like it's kind of dancing on a gray area, at least to me. You know, obviously the NFL doesn't care. I mean, they kind of make their own rules and go by their own rules. But when I've heard that, and I thought that was wild. And also that I read that the Carson deal was the only kind of recent stadium deal that did not have legends for the seats. And that's the one that got shot down, you know, so probably no coincidence there.
Right. I mean, and that's why they have the vote. That vote gets rid of that gray area. So, you know, they essentially just say, look, all the owners approve of it. What are you going to do, you know? So, other than the team leaving, what was the most disappointing part of the process, Nick?
I think the most disappointing thing as a Bay Area fan was Mark getting his feelings hurt by Oakland. I mean, saying that he felt betrayed by the rent being raised when I believe before that he was the lowest rent in the entire league for any NFL stadium. So I just thought that was kind of, I mean, I could see why he might be a little bit upset, but you know, I just felt like he was kind of spiteful and not willing to come to the table. So I really feel like if he put forth the same effort and resources towards the Bay Area and trying to get a deal done, he absolutely could have done that. He simply just, I think, chose not to. I mean, the Bay Area has more billionaires than almost any other location in the entire world. And you're telling me that, you know, a team like the Raiders on the upswing with some of the players that they have in the Bay Area, just the market they have in general, are going to have trouble finding financing. You know, so that's just kind of hard for me to believe. And that's what disappointed me.
All right, let's go to Twitter for another question. Raider T wants to know if we should expect any change in the uniform, such as a black face mask. Ryan, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, this is there's already been enough, you know, dramatic changes over here, enough trauma caused. You know what I mean, man? You can't. Yeah. There's no reason to change the cleanest uniforms in sports, man. Across all sports. So yep. No.
All right. I saw some fans saying that comparing this situation to the Browns leaving Cleveland and being forced to leave behind a team name and logo behind. And since that precedent has been sent, that Mark Davis should be forced to do the same. James, is there any merit to that?
You know, it's a little bit of a different situation. In Cleveland, the Browns were the organization, the franchise, was in the middle of the lawsuit with Cleveland. And the leaving of the name with Cleveland was a settlement in that lawsuit. So the city of Oakland really doesn't have that kind of leverage to try to force the Raiders to do that. So, and of course, the Raiders, this is a brand that's worth millions of dollars. So, of course, Mark Davis isn't going to leave it. So I just don't think that's really going to happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ryan, what would you say some of the biggest benefits of the Raiders moving to Vegas are?
Shit, man, I really don't. I mean, again, outside of the obvious, right? The brand new stadium and all that stuff. I'm kind of at a loss, right? I don't know. I'm very interested to see. Again, we've heard kind of the build up, obviously before the vote and obviously after the vote. You know, Las Vegas is a transient city. You know what I mean? So I'm curious, how are the fans going to travel? Is the stadium are tickets going to sell? I don't think that'll be an issue, but I mean, again, it's definitely a good question to ask. So again, other than the stadium, and I think for, you know, out of town, out of state fans like myself, I think flights to Vegas are a lot more affordable, I guess. Those are kind of the two that I would kind of circle. Other than that, man, it gets hot as shit in Vegas. So again, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, as far as climate and stuff like that, man, I'm kind of having a hard time finding any. And again, the stadium is obviously the crown jewel, right? So that is a huge, huge win. But other than that, man, I mean, I'm not really sure. I'd be curious if you guys can add anything to that.
I mean, the lack of tax in Nevada is something that sticks out to me. I know that's not necessarily having to do with the stadium itself, but it's a big deal, right? Because players are going to make a whole lot more money on the exact same contract in Nevada than California.
Absolutely.
So for me, when you're looking at football, that's the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that that 13% tax in California is a huge deal. I mean, imagine saving 13% on a contract. And when you're talking about millions of dollars, that's... Mm-hmm. That's
$130,000 for every million.
Yep.
There you go. Notable.
Went to school for that, to do that math right off the top of my head. but yeah, definitely, I think that's the biggest pro that sticks out from a football standpoint is definitely that. I think that makes the Raiders much more of a threat in free agency to sign some of these top free agents, like a lot of those Florida teams that, you know, that gets brought up every single time that happens. You know, they're still pretty close to the LA fan base. It's just kind of a, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away. So I think especially in the first, you know, 2-3 years, you know, I don't see any attendance struggles. As far as maybe some cons, you know, definitely the small market, I think, is a con. The TV market, having to rely on travel long term. I mean, how many people are going to fly in and drive in and week out, year in and year out, you know, especially if the team is bad. So that's something that we'll have to see in the future, or hopefully, I mean, hopefully we don't have to see it if the Raiders are never bad again, but you know what I mean? And then one thing I'm really curious to see is airline and hotel prices, specifically for like checking in and flying in on a Friday or a Saturday and then checking out or flying home on a Sunday. I mean, they could easily just jack up the rates for those, you know, particular days, you know, a flight home Sunday, because that's what a lot of people are going to look to do. So that's kind of something I'm curious to see if that happens or not as well.
All right, let's talk about the important issues. Serious question. Did you guys see the plans for the Raiders themed brothel? I'm a little torn. Is that a pro or a con in this case?
That's a tough one. Depends who you ask, I guess. But you know, don't be surprised, I guess, if more of that kind of stuff happens. You know, VIP discounts for Raiders players at certain locations. you know, across Vegas and whatnot. That stuff's about to happen. It's a good name, though. Did you guys see the name?
No, what was the name?
I think it was called Pirate Booty, right?
Pirates Booty. Oh, called? Yeah.
That's good. That makes really sense. Good.
Well done.
So hear me out on this, on how this could end up being a really big plus for the Raiders. You guys know the stories about how Lawrence Taylor used to send hookers to his opponent's hotel rooms the night before games. Maybe Raiders can get a little something going on, you know? Yeah, he tried to tire out his opponents the day before games, so he'd send hookers to their apartments, to their hotels, try to keep them up all night. So maybe the Raiders could work a little something out, get some discounts for the visiting team, maybe get their players a little tired.
Hey, there you go.
You're always
thinking outside
James.
The box, gentlemen. Thinking outside
always
the box.
Thinking.
Over under on how many nights per week Mark Davis stays at that place? Two or three?
Dude, that is not something I want to visualize. Oh, God.
That's going to be his new P.F. Chang's.
Oh, no. No. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Yeah, right.
And on a high note.
I'm just playing. All right. Speaking of Mark Davis, offered to give a refund to any season ticket deposits for anyone that requests it. Ryan, what do you think of this move?
I mean, classy move by Mark. I'm not sure any other owner, they were discussing this, might have been on SportsCenter or something like this. I can't imagine someone like Dean Spanos or whatever, you know, offering that. So a classy move by Mark. I know Ed Werder tweeted out, I'm sure we're going to talk about that, but Ed Werder tweeted out how obviously no one's jumped at the chance to kind of go for that refund. So I'd be curious kind of, you know, as the months, you know, pass and we get close to the season, how many fans are actually turning in those season tickets.
Ryan, what percentage of fans do you think will truly jump ship? And what do you think the attendance will be like until Oakland leaves?
Man, I know it was a Dr. Death. He was kind of he had an interview with somebody, man, and he was my man was fed up, and he was 100% serious. I think he put all the pirate gear away, man, and he's washing his hands. You know what I mean? So I guess, you know, he's got a bit of a voice, so I imagine he's probably got some, you know, a handful of other fans behind him. So again, you probably will see a handful of fans that are gonna, you know, look for other teams to kind of root for, but I'm not sure it's gonna be a large majority.
So James, have you been kind of surveying the landscape out there? I know just, you know, some of my friends and coworkers and stuff. I mean, the vast majority, I think only enough to count on one hand so far, you know, said that they're done. I think the vast majority are going to stick around. What's kind of your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I only, a lot of my friends are obviously Raiders fans, and I only know of two who are even considering abandoning fandom. And I think it's not even an easy decision for them. They're pissed. They're livid. I don't think that it's even easy for them. One person I will tell you, my dad is pretty sick of it. My dad watched him leave twice. He's an Oaklander too. He's not moving to another team, but I don't think he's really going to follow the NFL much anymore in general. I think he's going to kind of stick to college. I do think some people are.
So let me ask you a follow-up question on that, because you've obviously come on the podcast here to talk about it. You still got your website, so safe to assume you're sticking around as a real fan. How come you're going to stick around? What's different for you? Like, why aren't you as pissed as some of your friends?
Are we getting into like a litmus test for real fans now?
Yeah, exactly. How come you're sticking around? Personally, what's your belief on that?
You know, when I started,
are you just too vested?
That's part, but when I started, the Raiders weren't even in Oakland. They were in Los Angeles when I first became a fan. And so while I loved having them here and I was extremely excited when they first moved back, they've never had that same intrinsic tie to Oakland, because when I first became a sports fan, when I first became a football fan, they weren't here. You know what I mean? I followed college football primarily most of my childhood because there was no NFL team here. I was a Cal fan. And so, as upsetting as it is for me, it's not something I tie to Oakland and my status as an Oaklander as much as some others may.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat. I mean, when I was, I think, 5 years old, like 1994, 1995, somewhere in that range, I grew up, you know, primarily in a Niners family in San Jose, in Niners territory, when the Niners were just coming off, you know, several Super Bowls. And everybody out here, everybody that I knew was a Niners fan. And I defected from that to be a Raiders fan when I was like 5 or 6. So I never, you know, really tied them to Oakland as much as maybe people that are older than me, I suppose, or younger. And also too, I think I'm just way too vested in this. I mean, being a fan for such a long time, through all the awful years, you know, 2-14, Jamarcus Russell, all that stuff. I think I'm just way too, you know, emotionally vested. I mean, they call it die hard for a reason. And I think, you know, we've all died hard with the Raiders with how bad they've been. And, you know, that's not something I think I can just let go of. So that's, you know, big reason why I think I'm going to stick around.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But the question of how long the Raiders will be in Oakland before moving is up in the air. They're saying 2 years. Oakland doesn't want them in 2019. Nick, what is your understanding of how this is going to play out?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Most people seem to think that 2 seasons is the expectation here. I know there's some talk about, you know, the Raiders wanting them out sooner, but I think we'll get, you know, the upcoming 2017 and then the 2018 season. 2019 is where, you know, the big question mark is, obviously, because the lease at the Coliseum is going to expire. It's going to be real awkward, I think, for Mark to be like, hey, let me get one more year. I don't think that's going to happen. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Raiders end up playing in Sam Boyd Stadium for 2019, and we only get 2 more seasons of our Raiders here in Oakland. So if I had to guess, that's what I would say is going to happen.
James, I saw that the city council president of Oakland wants to evict the Raiders, or at least wants them gone right away. I saw some rumblings that the city could possibly sue the team. Could either of those actually happen?
I mean, I really don't know if they could sue them. I don't know enough details about it to really know. It seems to me more like one of those, you know, posturing moments, you know. As far as kicking them out, you know, there's a contract, and the Raiders were given an option to be here the next 2 years. And Oakland, you know, I don't know who does contracts for Oakland, but if you look at the contract that brought them back with Mount Davis and this contract giving them full authority, giving the Raiders full authority to choose over the next 2 seasons, Oakland doesn't write very good contracts, man. I mean, they really just kind of let the Raiders walk all over them with some of these contracts.
All right. They're no Reggie McKenzie's.
No.
For sure.
Word. You know what? Let's hit Twitter for another question. Mr. Jeff G. Smith, that's probably the most normal.
Very formal.
It's no mizzle bizzle.
Yeah, right. Mr. Jeff G. Smith Esquire wants to know that the ticket prices, well, he wants to know what the ticket prices will be in Vegas. You guys have a guess?
I think if I remember correctly, Levi Stadium, I think ticket prices were like $300 a ticket when that was opening up. I think the Viking Stadium, I was thinking about going with one of my best friends for that opening, who's a Vikings fan. And I think those were around $250 or $300 for the first home game. So I think that's probably a pretty decent range of where it might fall. Do you guys think it's going to be a packed house sellout? Absolutely, no question. When it opens up,
Yeah. I mean, again, I think Vegas, kind of the name kind of sells itself in a sense. Especially, I mean, maybe you know, initially, kind of for a big grand opening type of thing. So I think it's going to be a sight to see, especially when you unveil a stadium that's going to look, you know, if it even comes, you know, half as close to these renderings, man, it's going to be absolutely a sight to behold.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised with a brand new stadium if they weren't able to sell out early on. I think that, you know, at the very least, you're going to have a couple of years of just honeymoon period. I mean, even Levi's, as much as people hate it now, the first couple of years, people were still in love with it and packing it. So I think you'll at least get that. I think for me, the big question is, how much would the PSLs be? You know, are they going to be pricing out the average fan? Are these PSLs going to be bought by casinos and big companies out there to use to you know, woo their business partners? You know, who can actually afford the tickets? That's my curiosity.
All right. Well, something that went a little overlooked is Marshawn Lynch. I mean, we were talking about Marshawn Lynch coming back to play for the Oakland Raiders. Do you think that this changes the likelihood of him coming out of retirement to play for the Raiders? What do you think, Ryan?
Man, I was kind of on the fence with all of it kind of to begin with. Again, obviously an incredible storyline regardless. We heard a ton of reports pointing in the direction that obviously Marshawn's healthy. He wants to play. You know, he's got you know, his former teammates, friends, whatever. Everyone's coming out telling him he's got the itch or whatever. Then you got, you know, some guys on the other side saying, you know, you can't really trust anything that's going on right now, et cetera, et cetera. I think if anything, I guess maybe this pushes Marshawn maybe to come back for that kind of that last ride, you know, that could kind of just add to the swirling narrative and all that stuff. You know, it could be, you know, maybe this is the last season, maybe they got two more seasons in Oakland, but I guess if Marshawn's going to be a part of something, this is something to really, you know, grab the old helmet and grab the old cleats for one last ride.
James, what are your feelings on Marshawn?
You know, I could see it going either way. And with a guy like Marshawn, you really have no idea.
Exactly.
But I could see it being him being upset and pissed that they're leaving and making that decision that he's not going to play because of that. I could also see him being the type to look at the opportunity and say, well, wait a second. I can come play for a year or two on a team that has a chance of winning Super Bowl, and I could be remembered forever as the Oaklander who came back and won a Super Bowl with the Raiders before they moved. That's pretty tempting.
If that happens, Marshawn decides to come back and the Raiders are in the Super Bowl and he scores like a James White type touchdown to win the Super Bowl, I will start to GoFundMe myself to build a Marshawn statue.
Oh, gonna count me in.
Name your first son Marshawn or what?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm gonna have to go talk to the girl after the episode.
All right, sounds good. We have another question from Twitter. Specifically for James, JBB's Uh-oh. Own and previous podcast guest, Primetime Ryan, he asks if Bill Williamson has filed his lawsuit yet, and how do you feel about your chances against him in court?
First of all, of course it's Ryan that decides to bring this up.
That's a good question.
Really, really
no,
good
no lawsuit yet. I welcome the challenge, and I think I'd do pretty well if he did bring it.
you haven't been hit with the subpoena yet?
No, nothing yet. I think he's quieted down a lot since I actually sent him the link to
that. That was wild.
That was one of my favorite days.
I feel bad for the people that don't know what we're referring to and missed that. That was too funny.
I'll have to throw it back in the timeline, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Did any of you guys catch Del Rio's comments? He said when it's all said and done, there's a strong chance we'll add a back that can give us some of that power running, Nick. Is Jack foreshadowing being facetious, or is he just trolling the Raider Nation?
you know what? Maybe it's wishful thinking on my end, but I feel like he knows something. I mean, tampering is obviously an issue in the case of Marshawn, but I don't think any of us are naive enough to think that the Raiders haven't talked to him. You know, otherwise, I don't think they would have just pursued him out of the blue without gauging his interest in returning. So I think he knows that they've talked, and you know, like I said, maybe it's just wishful thinking, but you know, I'm encouraged that he's gonna come back. And if I had to guess, I would think that he feels like he wants to try to give the you know, his hometown city a Super Bowl before they leave. That's I think the opinion I would have, and hopefully that's the one he has, but we'll see.
All right, Ryan, during Del Rio's media session, he also said that Marshall Newhouse might be in the pole position for the starting right tackle spot. What did you think about that? That kind of came out of right field, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think it's obviously a very weird comment. Again, to me, the Newhouse, you know, again, everyone was really, you know, the timeline was baffled, upset, you know, they wanted a big name free agent, and McKenzie gives them Marshall Newhouse. They were a little upset about that. Again, to me, there was very little money involved. So I look at Newhouse as, you know, someone that's going to compete for a backup spot, you know, guard, tack, whatever. He's played, you know, all over the line during his career. He's not a starter to me, so I'm kind of chalking this one up to just simple coach speak. You know, Del Rio's gonna, you know, build him up. You know, hey, you got a chance to compete. I'd be very surprised if he beats out. Again, I know people don't want to see Austin Howard starting, but I'd be very surprised if he ends up beating out someone like Austin Howard.
McKenzie was also reached for some comments. He said that Carr will be a full go after offseason activities, that his extension will probably get done after the draft. And he talked about free agency as well, saying he couldn't spend as much money this offseason, obviously. Nick, I'll let you touch on McKenzie's comments.
So yeah, for first off, I think the big news that everyone took away from his presser in Phoenix was that Cars is going to be a full go for offseason activities. And I think just, you know, based on the severity of his injury that we learned and the progress that we've already seen him make this offseason, a lot of, you know, people expected that. But still, with, you know, a leg injury to your franchise quarterback, anytime you can get positive news, you'll definitely take it. So, you know, I'm certainly excited that he's not really going to, you know, skip a beat here in the offseason programs when those come around. And then, yeah, his extension. I think there was a lot of talk before free agency whether or not the deal would get done before or after. You know, obviously, a few weeks through free agency, we kind of got that answer figured out, you know, on our own. But, you know, it's good to know that that's going to get taken care of, you know, right after the draft. I think we're all anxious to see what those numbers are going to be like. So the Carr stuff, none of that's really a surprise. He did mention Gabe Jackson, though, so I was happy to hear that because, you know, there I think there was some speculation whether or not Gabe will get done this year or next year, and it sounds like that's going to get done this offseason, which I think is the right move. And then, yeah, about free agency. I mean, I was saying this whole time on the podcast, I've had probably four or five articles before free agency saying that, you know, the Raiders are not going to be big spenders, regardless of them being in the top, you know, three or whatever it was in cap space. You know, that's not what the actual money is going to look like by the time they take care of, you know, the things they need to take care of. So, you know, I was glad that he kind of was able to go out there and say that, and hopefully that makes some of the fans who are still upset that the Raiders didn't sign Calais Campbell or whoever, you know, back up off the ledge a little bit. So I thought it was, you know, a little bit more insightful stuff than we usually get out of McKenzie. So, you know, I thought it was kind of a cool little interview.
Let's go back to the Twitter mailbag. We have a question from DustMatt75. He wants to know if Carr's beliefs and values compromise a long-term deal due to the Vegas move. Actually, that's a very good question. Ryan, what do you think?
Man, I mean, again, I think I tweeted something out about, I think it was something along these lines where Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, you know, said something about how, you know, there I can't think of a worse place for someone like Derek Carr than Las Vegas. And actually Carr's brother, Darren, came back and said something along the lines of, you know, there's people everywhere that need help, and obviously referring to his faith or whatever. Man, Derek's, you know, some people love him, some people hate him for, you know, obviously the same reason people didn't like Tebow, you know, very outspoken with their faith. I don't see this being an issue at all. I think he obviously carries himself very well, and it's very important to him. I think the team recognizes that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to add. I don't personally foresee it being a deal breaker or anything like that. So,
I think it was either Darren Carr or David, one of his brothers. I forget what. When someone made a comment, I think it was Matt Miller from Bleacher Report said, like, I can't think of a worse place for Derek Carr than Las Vegas. And one of his brothers, I think, replied something like, just another opportunity to help those who are lost. So, you know, Vegas, I think, has a big homeless population and problem. And I think Derek's just like he's been doing in Oakland and the Bay Area. I think he'll do a lot of good for the community out there. So I don't see it, you know, affecting this whatsoever.
I have been seeing the Justin baby hashtag floating around Twitter. I thought that was kind of...
Derek's not going to like that one.
Yeah. We got another question. This one's for James. It's from DustMatt75 again. He wants to know why you don't comb your hair before your periscopes.
Yo, with beautiful locks like I have, you can't try to control them. You got to let them shit smoke free.
Touche. All right. Let's talk about free agency. As of right now, everyone is waiting on Zach Brown. James, what's your prediction for this, and what's up with Perry Riley?
You know, I don't think Zach Brown's coming. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. He still seems to be interested in more money. You know, but you never know. It apparently is down to Miami and Oakland. And so if he's about money, Miami seems to be the more likely place. If he's about trying to win, Oakland seems a more likely place. As for Perry Riley, I still think he's probably going to end up coming back. I think the Raiders are going to wait until either, you know, around the draft or after the draft to re-sign him and see what else they can do with the position. But I wrote this a while ago. I think even if they get Zach Brown, even if they get Zach Brown and draft a linebacker, I'd still bring Perry Riley back. It's clear no one is really interested in him. He's going to come at a cheap price, and he's great depth.
All right. Well, Nick, do you think there are any other free agents still out there that are worth pursuing, or is McKenzie just done with free agency and looking on to the draft?
It feels like to me that it's pretty much Zach Brown or bust at this point. If he doesn't sign, I'm not sure McKenzie's going to go after anyone else. He's kind of, I mean, Jonathan Hankins is still out there, but it seems pretty clear that if Zach Brown is too expensive or potentially too expensive, Hankins definitely will be. You know, there might be another Marshall Newhouse type deal that sneaks in there, but I think, you know, all in all, or for the most part, you know, this is pretty much the class of five here that we've got. And, you know, I'm you know, perfectly okay with that. I mean, I was saying, like I said this whole time, I don't think the Raiders should, nor do I want them to be big spenders. So, you know, I think we're probably done.
Ryan, if the Raiders didn't sign another free agent, how would you grade this class?
Again, I mean, I think you know, McKenzie went out and kind of went about his business the way that a majority of us, you know, thought he would. There wasn't going to be a ton of money being thrown around. I don't think we're going to be in play for really any of the big name free agents. So I think given that, I mean, I think a C plus sounds fair. I think, you know, the Del Rio in that same media session talked up Patterson. So I think they got some pretty decent plans for him, trying to get him involved. Jenkins, the linebacker, the question mark with him has always been health. So I'm sure obviously depth regardless, but if he's healthy and able to compete for Malcolm Smith's spot, that'd be fantastic. Again, touched on, excuse me, Newhouse prior, good or decent depth signing. I don't think he's more than that. So, you know, it's definitely the underwhelming name. So, all things considered, I think a C plus is fair.
So we've talked about the five free agent signings, but James, let's get your thoughts. Which signings were you a fan of? Which signings did you not like?
You know, there weren't any that I disliked. I think there's varying levels of how much I like them. I'm a really, really big fan and really excited about Jared Cook and Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that it's really hard to find fault in investing in your franchise quarterback, and that's exactly what the Raiders did. Those two guys are gonna allow Todd Downing, a first-year coordinator, tons of flexibility with his alignments, with his scheme, with throwing all kinds of different things at opposing defenses. So I love those two signings. Marshall Newhouse and Janoris Jenkins, I'm neither excited nor upset about. They're just kind of meh guys, you know. Depth is good, and they add depth, so that's good. EJ Manuel, I'm actually kind of like that signing. It's super low risk. There's no guaranteed money, and you're bringing in a guy with starter experience to push Connor Cook. And you really, in my mind, that's a great thing. You've got a young quarterback that you've invested a fourth round pick in. Now give him some competition and force him to learn and get better.
All right, let's switch gears and talk about the draft. Jabril Peppers is arguably the most polarizing player in this draft class. You know, there's all sorts of takes on him. Nick, what's your take, and where did the Raiders draft him, if they draft him?
I don't think Jabril is a first-round prospect. I just don't see it. You know, for the safety, I just don't think he's got the necessary ball skills to be a quality coverage safety. And I think we saw him at linebacker at times in Michigan kind of get exposed, like when Ohio State played him. I mean, they just ran right at him, and there wasn't anything he could do about it. So, I mean, I don't think he's particularly strong in coverage or against the run. You know, he's kind of just an athlete that made some plays on offense in college, and I think that kind of, you know, built up his hype to what it is. I could see a team taking him in the second round, or maybe even the first round. I just hope it's not the Raiders. You know, if for some reason was on the board with their third round pick, you know, then I probably would be down. I mean, hard to pass on that kind of athleticism. I think he's very passionate about football. But as far as his, like I said, his strengths, I just don't think he is that strong in any particular area. So, you know, I'm not all too high on Jabril.
James, what do you think?
You know, I think his athleticism is, you know, high first round athleticism, but his football skills are maybe like back of the second round football skills. So he's really complicated and hard to know what to do with. If I had a defensive coordinator who I had incredible amounts of confidence in and confidence that they would be able to do something with him and teach him and mold him into a good player, I'd be okay with taking him in the back of the first. I think you gentlemen know how I feel about our defensive coordinator, so I would really not be happy if they took him.
Ryan, yeah, you have any hot takes on Jabril?
I mean, I really think I'm alone in this, so I do believe that in itself makes it a hot take. I'm okay with Jabril Peppers in the first round. I'm okay with Jabril Peppers at 24 overall, man. I think, you know, again, obviously you guys touched on, he obviously is an athlete, says the right things, goes about his business the right way. I think he truly does love football. But that aside, I'm interested in seeing him at the next level, and I'm okay with rolling the dice and putting him in one position. Obviously, he played all over the map in college and did whatever was asked of him. But I think if you play him in the box, you know, and just allow him to kind of roam around, chase, I think he's gonna eliminate the tight end troubles that Oakland's had. Again, I just think he's gonna benefit from being put in one position and allowing him to kind of hone in on his skills and really focus on doing one thing and doing it well instead of spreading himself so thin on offense, defense, special teams, whatever the case may be. So I was a fan coming in. I was a little high on him coming in, and I've kind of tempered that back down a little bit. But to me, still a first round player, and still a player that, depending how the board falls, I would definitely consider him at as early as 24.
You know, not to make a cross sports comparison, but this really feels a lot like Draymond Green. Do you guys remember that? How Draymond wasn't getting any love, but he proved the haters wrong. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's maybe the same scenario.
I can dig it.
All right, let's see here. We know where Ryan stands on Christian McCaffrey. Dude, ooh, has never stopped talking about him. James, what do you think about Christian?
Ryan and I have been headed for this clash for what seems like months now. I think Christian McCaffrey is a very good football player. I think whoever drafts him in the first round will be very happy with their product. I don't think he makes sense for the Raiders. I think Nick has pointed this out before. He just matches too closely what the other running backs on the Raiders do. And I just don't, you know, it's one of those things that if you do that, okay, but you better be getting rid of either Rashard or Washington. And how do you know which one you want to get rid of at this point after only one season? And what are you going to do about short yardage downs? And you know, it just doesn't make sense. I think if the running back core was in a different situation now, I'd be all for it. But for me, it just doesn't make sense given what the Raiders have.
That's exactly kind of what I've been saying, what James just said right there, is that, you know, I'm a big Christian McCaffrey fan. I did a full breakdown on him for JBB. Fantastic football player. I think he's, like James said, he's too similar to Richard and Washington. I think he's just maybe a better version of those guys. And, you know, we need that big power back that we had and let go, or had and let walk.
Y'all are breaking my heart, man.
We've talked about...
I like the little shot at the end, giving props to Latavius Murray just to rub it into Ryan a little bit worse.
Y'all are breaking my heart.
We've talked about Obi and Reddick quite a bit, as they're widely considered the two favorites for the 24th pick. Let's talk about some sleepers, though. Nick, you go first.
I'm going to go with both Ohio State guys. I think one for the 24th pick, I know a lot of people consider him a second round guy, but Raekwon McMillan, someone that can, you know, potentially play inside linebacker, which is definitely a, you know, obviously a major need for the Raiders. Big time athlete. I think he's still only 20 years old, highly productive. I mean, he's going to check a lot of boxes, I think, for McKenzie. And the reason why I say maybe a sleeper for 24 is, as I was saying, a lot of people might consider him a second round pick. But picking towards the end of the second round, you know, the Raiders don't have top five, top 10 pick anymore. It doesn't seem likely to me that Raekwon is a guy that'll be there at the end of the second round. So if McKenzie wants him, he might have to grab him at 24. And I think we kind of saw that last year with Carl Joseph. A lot of people considered Carl a first round talent, and his injury, some people thought maybe he could sneak into the second round. But what happened was, you know, Reggie liked him enough and just picked him at 14. So it could be kind of a similar situation, you know, obviously without the injury. And then the second one would be Garyon Conley, who I think maybe with the Sidney Jones injury is now right up there in the conversation for the second best cornerback in this class. And I think he's someone that can do a much better job than Sean Smith and David Amerson guarding those smaller, quicker receivers. So he can come in right away, play the slot, and I think he, you know, even has the capabilities big enough to play on the outside eventually if they need him to. So those would be my top two as far as, you know, not the most popular or talked about option.
James, who you got?
So for me, I'm going to go corner with one of them as well, with Tre'Davious White. He's a guy that I really like, and I haven't heard a ton of people connecting with the Raiders. He seems to make sense with needs because he's a guy who can come in right away, start at the corner or the slot corner position, and develop hopefully into an outside corner. So he's a guy who you get value from right away and hopefully improve value down the line. Another guy who I think is a big sleeper would be Malik McDowell, and I think he's a sleeper because one of his big issues is he a head case? Does he have issues off the field, and is that something that McKenzie would be willing to take a risk on in the first round? We've seen him take a risk late rounds, but would he do it in the first round? If he does, I think that's a talent who could make a big difference for the Raiders and really help out Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin feed next season.
Ryan, who's going to be your sleeper? Christian McCaffrey.
I promise you, I'm not gonna talk about Christian this pod, man. But actually, James took my guy, man. I was gonna say McDowell as well, just because again, a lot of the narrative surrounding McKenzie these past few years has been obviously steering away from kind of the character type concerns. I think we heard similar complaints. Obviously, McDowell's probably has a few more flags, but we heard similar complaints with or similar flags with a player like Mario Edwards Jr. coming out of school. You know, he kind of just, you know, packed it in. You know, I think Del Rio said he had his own case of senioritis. So I think McDowell's just a case of a kid that was just looking forward to just get out and obviously was playing kind of down to some competition, whatever the case may be. So I'd be interested if McKenzie kind of goes that way, because to me, a player like McDowell is easily probably one of the top 5-10 best players in this class. So to get him at 24 would be incredible. The other name I'm going to throw out there is another cornerback, one that I'm personally really, really high on. Kid from Colorado, man. Chidobe Awuzie. No one else is really mocking him in the first, man. I just think he's one of the cleanest corners out there, man. Zero issues, you know, with his run fits, playing in coverage, man. Just super, super clean tape. Just a really good kid. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's selected in the first. If it's not by Oakland, it might be by someone else. So
I'm going to jump in here real quick. We got a last-minute Twitter question that came in, so I'll direct it to James since he's our guest here. So we've got at A underscore to the underscore O. He wants to know the over-under on the number of defensive players that the Raiders will take in the draft. So they've got 8 picks. James, how many of those do you think will be defensive players?
You know, I'm going to go over-under 5. I think it's going to be over 5. I think... probably looking at 1 to 2 offensive draft picks, a running back, maybe a slot receiver can be developed, or maybe a tight end can be developed, because, you know, the wide receiver and tight end the Raiders brought in are really only 1 or 2 year stopgaps. But besides that, I think it's going to be pretty much all defense.
Should we do one more question from Twitter?
Let's do it.
All right. We got a question from Raider T again. He wants to know where Jared Davis is on the draft board following his strong pro day. Ryan, you got some intel?
Man, I just Davis was a kid, obviously a linebacker for those who aren't familiar with the name, middle linebacker from Florida. A kid that I had, you know, a third round grade on. Tape was kind of all over the place. I believe he's had a couple injuries himself. I knew he would test well. I didn't think he would test as well as he did. I think our boy Trevor was at the Florida Pro Day, and I think the numbers that were coming in, man, might have put him at the very top of the list for, like, across the board as far as linebackers are concerned. So dude made himself a good bit of money, man. But for me, I'm all about, you know, the testing and stuff like that. That plays a big part. But obviously you gotta weigh that against the tape. The tape for me is still kind of all over the place. So a third round grade, I could understand pushing him up to maybe 56 overall, but any of that first round talk for me is still a bit wild. So,
all right, last question. Any of you fellas going to the Vegas home opener or going to any games in Vegas whatsoever?
I don't think I'll be all that interested in going to the Vegas opener. Probably a little too fresh when that eventually happens, but I could see myself making my way to at least one game at some point, you know, maybe the first or the second season. But I don't think I can do the opener.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't think I'll be able to afford to go to the opener. I mean, those tickets are probably going to be
that's exactly what I'm talking
about. Good answer.
Yeah, you know, but at some point I will go for sure. I mean, you know, I don't know when. I'm with Nick a little bit. It is also a little bit too fresh. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But at some point I will most definitely be going to a game.
Man, I'm gonna be out there. I don't know about you guys. I'm gonna be. You're gonna see me in the front row, just drunk as hell, just acting a fool, and
with the JBB sign out there for the brand.
Exactly. For sure. But I think that'll do it for this week's episode of the Just Blog Baby podcast. You can follow us along on Twitter at Just Blog Baby. Also, we've got a Stitcher. What else we got? SoundCloud
and iTunes. The same as always. So,
same as always. Exactly.
No Spotify. Thanks again to James for coming back on the podcast once again. We appreciate it. So if you guys don't know already, I mean you should, but if you don't know already, go to his Twitter account at Raiders Reporter. Pretty easy one to find. And he's been doing a lot of really good work for his website that he started himself, blackholebanter.com, and they've got a podcast as well, so make sure to go, you know, subscribe over to that. They do you know, him and Q do pretty much episodes every week, and they do a really good job, so, you know, make sure you follow him on everything that he's got.
Great stuff.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Love coming on, and I do believe our next guest on the podcast will be Ryan himself, so you guys should definitely tune in.
Let's go, man. Christian there time. Christian for 50 plus minutes.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Thanks, fellas.
All right, peace
out.
Thanks, y'all.